very emotional. Thank you for sharing. And God taught us to be, that He's the healer and provider, but it's so much more to ask. I pray that Byron will give us the word from God's mouth, and that we will have heart that accepts and that changes. And I pray for Byron that you bless him as our leader, spiritual, and the leader of the congregation, that we will hear from him as it is from you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very different morning this morning. So we'll get through as much as we can this morning. It was amazing because the Holy Spirit really visits me in dreams and stuff the week of the Sunday, but this is way before, because I looked at the schedule and what it was, and it's actually Matthew 24, the second coming of Jesus. And the Lord starts speaking to me. So we're going to approach this a little differently this morning, but I believe it will bless all of us. All right? So, Father God, I thank you, Lord. You said the mind of Christ will dwell in you richly. And Father God, I believe the mind of Christ will dwell in me richly as I speak words for your children. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to abbreviate things. You can read chapter 24 yourself. So we're kind of racetrack through it. But the question here in the first few verses is, the disciples tell us, when will this happen? When will the signs of your coming and the end of the age? I got born again, and shortly after, there was a lot of stuff out there in the media. Remember, for us that are old enough, the late great Planet Earth? That book was flying around. Then shortly after that, it came up a book, Left Behind. And then they made a movie out of it. And all this thing, and all this anticipation. And to me, I haven't heard too much, maybe in the last number of years, about this anticipation of the return of Jesus. And so we're going to be, they asked the question. And Jesus, in the first few verses, really answered what was shortly about to come to pass. He said, first of all, watch out, no one deceive you. Very important that we're careful to what we're listening to. And that we're hearing the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. But as we approach, there's going to be deceivers out there. And what is the purpose of the deceiver? To rob us of all that we know and have in Jesus Christ. Secondly, he said, don't be alarmed. There'll be world events. There'll be things happening. And he says that you are not alarmed. Whether it's wars, whether it's terrible earthquake that just happened in Venezuela. And they say there's 15,000 people unaccounted for. And they're trying to find out what's going on. If you didn't know, it was the earthquake, and right after that, another one, the same strength, hit whammo, two in a row. Usually, earthquakes are much weaker the second time. This was equally strong. Bim, and then boom. And 15,000 people, they came and fined. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed at the events you see and the wars and the rumors of wars. He says, be at peace, guys. Be at peace. because this is the beginning of birth pains. Then the next thing he kind of says is, you're going to see a lot of messed up people, a lot of hatred, a lot of lying, a lot of people not treating each other rightly. And what did he say about that? He said, there will be a great increase in wickedness. Another reference, one time he said, like in the days of Noah. If you're looking back in Genesis and find the days of Noah, it says the minds of men were evil continually. So he says that there's going to be a great increase in wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. Hang around wrong environments and it will wreck your life. It will suck love out of your life if you just hang around people that talk badly, talk hateful, talk bad. Where we spend our time with Jesus and who we spend our time with others is very important. Very important. Then he goes on quickly to say that the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Then the end will come. And we'll get back to that reference later about how loving our God is, how loving and compassionate he is. So we're going to jump now. What should be our attitude in daily living? What should we should be about if the coming of the Lord is around the corner? Might be this generation, might be next generation, but the anticipation of knowing that he's coming back will have an effect on our own lives. The Thessalonian Christians were kind of new believers, and they had deceivers coming to them, and Paul says, I got to set the record straight. I got to help you understand about the coming of Jesus. And there it says, about times and dates. Throughout generations, we've had those date setters, haven't we? And those dates came and they went, you know, and they never happened. Because Paul had reminded those Thessalonian Christians that the Lord will come like a thief in the night, suddenly. Suddenly. Ooh, I almost missed it there, Kara. I mean, let's go back up to one of the last verses, because it reminded me when I said this, suddenly and like a thief and whatever it is. When Jesus was talking about a second coming in Matthew 24:46, Master, find him doing. What does the master find him doing when he returns? Yikes! Yikes! I mean, that's a yikes thing for me. I mean, I hope the Lord comes when Wanda's on the street preaching Christ in Waukegan. And I say to myself, I hope the Lord find me doing something, sharing God's love with somebody. The other side of this, I hope he doesn't find us doing something we shouldn't be doing. Because that's going to be like a twinkling of an eye. And God desires, his heart's desire, when he returns, his children are about his business. Amen? So it says he comes like a thief in the night. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that the day should surprise you like a thief. Juan was saying this morning, I just want more of God's light. I want more of God's light. So we prayed for him. More light. And light actually devours darkness. And that's what God wants out of us. He said, he's come like a thief in light. And he says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night and darkness. I'm going to skip a verse here for time. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strives to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. That's a problem. He's trying to encourage us. What should we be about knowing that he's coming back? Here's what he's saying. He says, no bickering, guys. No, treating wrong for wrong. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. This is instruction for the body of Christ, that our motivation is to love one another. To love one another and not pick fights. Just be bickering and after you and trying to get even somehow. Because there's no getting even. God is the God of grace and love and mercy. What's the takeaway from doing wrong, repaying wrong for wrong? That means the body of Christ is not in that place where he says, how is the world going to recognize Jesus through me? How I love. So if I'm loving right, I can't be trying to get replaced wrong for wrong, can I? These are some very good information about what you and I should be like if he's coming tomorrow. And that's what our hearts should be like that. Then he says, he goes on to say, what are some of the things that we should be doing, rejoicing always. Rejoicing always. Always means always. That means when things are getting so hard in life and things are going so wrong and so difficult for us, it's a time to rejoice. Rejoicing brings healing. Praying continually. So the body of Christ, if he's about to return, one of the things he wants to see us doing is praying. Find time to pray. Some of it I do in my ride back and forth to work. Sometimes it's very random. I think of a person. I think of somebody, and why did that thought come to me for that person? Well, where I go to, pray for them. God, you brought that person to my mind. Pray. I don't know what's going on, but I'll pray for them. Praying continually. I don't think that verse really means every second of the day, but it means to have a heart to pray. The other thing is that we ought to be about, as we view Jesus' return, is give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. Uh, all three of these things, if we really want healing in our life, if we really want life transformation, I think practicing rejoicing, practicing praying, and practicing giving thanks will bring it on. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's heart for you and I to be rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. But I can probably end the sermon right now. If you all walk out doing that, you're going to be doing very well. You're going to do very well. And I have to say, you know, practicing these things is, because the enemy is going to really bring challenges to your life, but practicing these things will shut him down. And for time, I don't want to go into all these examples, but in the business world, many times have come in my life where the impossible comes. And I don't try not to spend a minute fretting about it, but find a quiet place in the office and bring it to the throne. And time after time, whatever that need is, whether it was with the employee relationships or it was with supply or demand or whatever was going on, things happen, things change. You know, I have to say, you know what? This is a discipline that we need to discipline ourselves in, because in your natural self, the first thing you go to won't be rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Trust me. You're going to try to figure it out yourself when God says, bring it to my throne. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Do not quench the spirit, and do not treat prophecy with contempt. You enjoyed some prophecy this morning. Treat it as, I may catch some of it, maybe I catch all of it, but I'm going to put that in my heart and know what I heard. But test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. And a guy said one time with prophetic words, take what we can receive and spit out the bones. Because what's true about all of us who have the gift to prophesy, we have to remember that verse, we prophesy in part. And sometimes I catch myself, I have a prophetic word, and then I let my flesh creep into it. We want to leave it pure from heaven, in Jesus' name. Then he says, may the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. Key, as we anticipate the coming of Jesus, key to keeping our spirit, our soul, and our body in rightness, in correctness. See, you are a spirit, you have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. Take care of your body, take care of your thought life, mind, will, and emotions, and feed your spirit. The only food the spirit receives is the word of God. And the way that becomes a huge benefit to you and me is the God that is faithful. Is the God, you know, the enemy is trying to kind of make you doubt that. God is faithful to his own. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll go after the one and leave the 99. God is faithful to you and me. And when that's our focus, that he's good and faithful and loving and kind and full of grace, that will support keeping our spirit, soul, body intact. What an amazing God. He's for the whole person. For the whole person. Byron, you're doing good. I'm watching time here. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good here. Getting through this. No, I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at you. So anyhow. But you know what? You're very good when we meet together, keeping us from going off tangents. Come on, reel this back in. So all right. So now we move to 2 Thessalonians, because God, not only did he want to teach the people, and specifically not to get off track, but stay focused on the imminent return of Jesus. But then he followed up on him. He followed up with 2 Thessalonians. And may the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God and Father, who loved us, key, acknowledge every chance you get, acknowledge the fact that God loves you. John said it this way. He says, it's not so much that we love him, but fully acknowledge that he loves you. And by his grace, gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed. So, key to the imminent return of Jesus, because it will happen, is know that you don't have to fear his return, because you're waiting on somebody that loves you more than anybody ever did in your life. And that will give you hope and encourage your hearts and strengthen you. Then a kind of a funny verse. I think it's a funny verse. It says, and even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Oh, I hate laws. They give law. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. you know what? You got to understand the meaning behind what he's saying. And really what was happening in the life of the body of Christ in Thessalonica. What he's saying is, focusing on the imminent return of Jesus should not stop you from doing life. Focusing, he's returning. I think he's returning soon. Should I give up my job? Should I give up my parenting? Should I give up everything? Focusing on his return doesn't mean a walking away from doing life. And besides, that life in Jesus is an abundant life. It doesn't say quit and do nothing. In fact, it's the truth is, if you're really allowing that imminent return of Jesus Christ to really be in your life, it should accelerate you saying, God, use me for kingdom work. Get me on the playing field. I don't want to be on the bench. Yes. It says, what that saying is, continue to do life. Second Peter also shares some things about the second coming of Jesus. And I kind of referred to it earlier. I said when I was growing up, The Late Great Planet Earth. Well, I read that book. That was really, wow, got me going. Then shortly after that, along comes Left Behind and all these other books and all the other books. I maybe it's just me. I'm not aware of that many books about the second coming. Jerry, are you aware of, is there kind of a slowdown of that, do you think? Or is there still a... Still a lot, and it should be, but Peter is saying that there's going to become a generation on the earth where there'll be scoffers, and they'll say, "Where is this coming?" He promised. Even since our ancestors died, everyone goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. I'm not sure this is going to happen. I'm not, you know, what is one of the tools of the enemy? Is unbelief and doubt. Some people say unbelief and doubt in our Heavenly Father and who He is almost the mother of all sins. Because when we start doubting and not believing, we're opening the door to not some very good stuff. He says, in fact, I think in another scripture he says, you know, there's doubt and unbelief as we approach God's throne of grace and love and mercy, the expectation is nothing. We must believe and have faith intact when we go to our Heavenly Father for what we need in life. Then the expectation is He will give it liberally, completely. Okay. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed and the waters by the waters. And by these waters also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly. So, Peter is saying that don't forget the flood. Don't forget the flood. But about that flood, don't forget how patient God is. Do you know when Noah got the instructions to build it until the completion was 120 years? While God was waiting for the people on the earth to repent and change their mind. Gave them 120 years. But during that 120 years, all Noah and his family got was laughing, scoffing, and say, are you guys stupid? Why are you building a boat in the middle of a desert? And suddenly, the rains came and the flood came and destroyed who? The ungodly. Saved who? Those of faith, Noah and his family. And the same thing is a future truth. A future truth. There's going to be a judgment on mankind. And that fiery destruction, again, who's it for? The ungodly. Those that have rejected Jesus. Then he goes on to say, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. So you understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but to everyone to come to repentance. God has not changed from the day of Noah to this day today. He's patient. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's full of kindness. And though things could be really bad on earth, and we could see evil all around us, Earlier, you heard him say, you know, this all this hatred and all this stuff caused the love of many to fade away. We say, don't let the events of the world affect your love for God and his love for you. And remember that as same as the flood comes, there is a judgment day coming when Jesus returns. He's returning to put his loving arms around all of us. And to judge all those that have rejected him. Very sobering, very sobering. Then in conclusion, I looked at you this time. That's fine. Because we had a big laugh. I won't go into that. It's just between Casey and me. But in my dreams while I was preparing this, I woke up in the middle of the night. Early morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I looked at my clock. I can look to the right and see it. I can look at the ceiling. I got one of those shines up to the ceiling. So I look up. Good thing, look up all the time. But then look to my side, and it said 5:16. And then I remember Holy Spirit says, "Hey, for the message on this Sunday, 5:15." But he said 6:15, 7:15, 16, 5:16. 7:16, 6:16, 7:16. Oh my. But anyhow, so I looked those verses up. I looked those verses up because it wasn't a matter of just seeing time, but the Holy Spirit was saying, Byron, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, verse 16. End your message with that. Here they are. Matthew 5, 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What a beautiful instruction as we anticipate the Lord's coming. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Matthew 6:16. When you fast, do not look sober as the hypocrites do, for they discard their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward in full. As whatever you're going through in life, there may be times when you're called to fast. And that fast is not a demonstration for others. It's for you to God. And it should be done just soberly, quietly, and just do it. In fact, nobody else needs to know you're doing it. It's fasting with a purpose that God is calling you to. 7:16. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick up grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You and I have an opportunity every day to show others our love for God and who He is, and ask Him to develop the fruits of the Spirit in us, not by our own strength, but out of His grace and love for you and I. Because by that operating in our lives, they'll see Jesus. That's the right choice. That is the right choice, right? Perfect. Perfect. So, by your fruits, you will recognize them. And in the very end here, John 1:3. So, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Guys, that's your identity. You're a child of God Almighty. The giver, the final authority in heaven and earth, and you're His beloved child. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is they did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him, and we'll see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves. So the amen is, look patiently on His coming. Be an instrument in His hands. Allow Him to gift you. Allow Him for us to say, here I am, Lord, use me. Earlier, your prophecy was you're qualified. See, God qualifies all of us. You know, I'm your pastor, but equally God has blessed all of you to be used by God in Jesus Christ. We have a hope in His returning. Don't give up living just because you think He's coming back tomorrow. Ask Him to use you. So, something I normally don't do, but I'm going to do it now. Father God, bless your children here. Father God, bring encouragement to their lives, Father God. Father God, when they need healing, heal them, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father God, use them as instruments of your glory that they might see, that Jesus might be seen in all of them. Father God, let them know that they are the hands and feet of Jesus on this earth. And Father God, allow them to never be ashamed that they are who they are. And Father God, when difficult times come, Father God, take them by the hand and say, I have you covered. No difficulty you're facing is stronger than I am. Put your trust in me, and I'll take care of you through every difficulty of life. Father God, bless this body of Christ, Lord. Father, bless them when they get up. Bless them when they go about their business. Bless them in the evening, and bless them peacefully in their sleep as they sleep, Lord. And Father God, that they will learn how to enter your rest. In Jesus' name, amen.